morning. Well, we welcome you to this service. It is our ladies' service, and we are just so glad that you came. Is there anyone that this is your first time to be in our service today? Just wave at me. We have some right over here. I know Mr. Smith, your friend. Tell me her name again. Joyce, we're so glad that you're with us. Anyone else that this is your first time with us? Well, let's take just a moment. Stand, greet each other, welcome each other in the name of the Lord this morning.
Sunday here at Jenkins. I'm going to talk a little bit about CPWM and what we do, and that's what our whole theme for today is. Ms. Pat Smith is going to do our sermon for the day. But the purpose of CPWM, or the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry, is to accept and share the love and joy of Jesus Christ through the ministry of women in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church as we pray, study God's Word, and reach out through mission, service, encouragement, and fellowship. The mission statement of the CPWM is that we are women of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church committed to the ministries of prayer, study, service, and fellowship. And we also follow three tracks of ministry, which the first one is Bible study and prayer, the second is mission, service, and outreach, and the third is fellowship and encouragement. And we hope that through today's service that you will join the women of our church will join us the first Tuesday of every month, and our first meeting for the new year will be August 7th at 7 p.m. and we are going to be putting packs of school supplies together for needy children in our community. Our current officers for this year are Deborah Eckert, who is our president. She's in the back. I'm the vice president. Becky Fielder is our secretary, and Julie Beaumart is our treasurer. So we are going to be moving up. We'll have installation in August, so we hope you all join us for that. And we hope to see you every first Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. for a women's ministry. It's just a kind of a girls' night to get out and do service work for the community and for the Lord. Thank you.
Are there any announcements that we need to hear this morning? Don't forget the brunch immediately after this service. Anything else? Everyone is invited, by the way. Anything else that we should bring to the attention of the congregation? Yes. We welcome you this morning. Any other announcements? any prayer requests or praise reports this morning? Yes. Any other announcements? Prayer requests, yes. Okay. Sonia Haywood, okay. Bill? Okay. Family of Williams' name. Think it is. Okay. Any others this morning? Yes. Any others this morning? Yes. Well, it's good to know that we have a great God who loves us and is concerned about everything that concerns us. So before we start this service this morning, let's take a few moments and bow and in silent prayer, ask the Lord to come. He's already here, but we do want to welcome Him. We're lighting our candles, and it's not just because they're pretty. It's because He is truly the light of the world. So let's have a moment of silent prayer. Thank you. remain standing for our call to worship. It's found in your hymnals, and it is responsive, not your hymnal, your bulletin. It is responsive. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted.
May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth.
May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great.
You may be seated.
If you don't feel like standing, you don't have to. But I feel like when we stand, we sing, we give our praise to God, we give our best to God when we're standing and we are upright before our Lord. Let us sing, listen to our hearts.
Words cannot express the love.
standing for our prayer of praise and adoration. Please bow your hands with me. Great and awesome God, Creator, source of all life, Father God, we stand before you with bowed heads and humbled hearts to worship and praise you. Out of chaos and darkness, you spoke the words which brought order and light and life. We marvel at such evidence of your greatness and glory. Yet you laid these aside when you took on human flesh in Christ Jesus. In him we gained a new understanding of your power and glory, for he revealed through his life that true power is based on empowering others, and that glory is made visible through loving and serving others. We marvel anew at the depth of your care for us and the many ways our lives have been blessed by the sacrificial life and love of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Remain standing, we'll say our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Call to confession is found in Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Our prayer of confession is in unison. Let's pray together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We have an assurance of forgiveness. Psalms 32:5 says, "And I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you. Please turn to page 262 in your hymnals. We'll sing the first and the last verses. And I think this is one you're going to have to stand up to on. I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you, but it's just too powerful not to.
Divine, leaning on the earth.
Children's church this morning, so when you're through, just go back with your parents. time in our service for our offertory, and our offertory sentence today is sort of interesting. It talks about love. And, you know, sometimes it talks about giving and that sort of thing, but it talks about love this morning. But if you really think about it, when you love the Lord, you want to give. And so it's a very appropriate offertory sentence for us this morning. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Thank you.
84, and we'll sing all the verses of Thou Know Where Christian Fire Love.
Humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all over and through all and all. Next I read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. The Word of God for the people of God.
I didn't make any of this up. This came straight from my dad. So I'm here to introduce. So if I say something, I didn't do it on purpose. I'm here to introduce Miss Patricia Overton Smith. She was a teacher at Daniel McKee Alternative School in Rutherford County, a graduate of Bethel College in McKenzie, Tennessee, in 1967 with a degree in drama and speech. She has a master's degree from the University of Memphis in education. She's the mother of Ashley, grandmother of three grandchildren who live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. One sister, Martha, who was raised in Nashville at the now Brent Haven Church from a long line of Cumberland Presbyterians. She married Cordell Smith in 1967, who is also a Cumberland Presbyterian preacher. They have also been in the catering business, florist business, had a wallpaper store, and they lived in Texas and Kentucky in addition to living here in Tennessee. She came to Bethel with more credits than some left with, having taken advanced courses in high school. Her uncle, Dr. Roy Baker, was president of Bethel College when she was there, and his portrait was prominently displayed in the library. My dad was at Bethel when Pat arrived, and he said that maybe I should not tell the fact that she engineered a plan to turn her uncle's picture upside down and see how many would notice. One night, she and her cohort hid in the stacks until the library closed and turned his picture upside down and slipped out and acted so innocent the next morning. She joined a sorority and was Gloria Job's pledge or servant for the pledge time, and Gloria says that she was not a bad person but very mischievous. And Dad said that maybe I should not tell also that Pat's friends did not ignore her. They thought of her often and plotted against her. One night she walked into her room and found her bed missing, and found it in the library lobby all set up and ready for sleeping. Another night she walked in and found that her bed was missing. This time she found it had been pushed out of the upstairs window. She had to take a monthly special to be out later than 8 p.m. to get the bed. She came back through the lobby carrying her mattress, and the dorm mother stopped her and asked what she was doing. She responded, "You know, Jesus said in the Bible to take up your bed and walk." And even with all of that and much, much more, Pat was elected Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry President in 2005. So if you'd help me welcome Ms. Pat Smith.
Now you know our Bethel friends, why we are all so close, and we often stick together, but I have some stories I think I can tell, too. Thanks. Those were wonderful times. Wonderful times. Bethel is a wonderful place. I did gain an education there, and I was drawn closer to God, made lifelong friends, and I can't talk about Bethel without smiling. But that's not our subject today, so I guess I had better get back to the subject. I'm honored to be here. What a wonderful service. I have been blessed. And I hope that in these few words you will also be blessed, and that the theme of the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministries for this year will stay with you, because I think this is a theme that will stay with all of us throughout the rest of our lives. Hands together, one in Christ. It sort of pulls us out of our comfort zone and helps us to find a place and urges us to find a place of service to others wherever we are in life's walk. And I know that's what it will do for me. Now, look at your hands. I want everybody to stop and just put your hands out in front of you and look at your hands. I have done that a number of times recently, I guess because I've been busy all summer, and in school sometimes my hands get into terrible shape with inks of all kinds on them. And when I look at them, sometimes you're probably like me, you think, whose hands are these? I mean, they are not the hands that I once had that were just smooth and didn't have any wrinkles on them, and the fingernails were all done right. I look at them and I think, how did they get into this shape? You know, they're wrinkled, they have hangnails on them, broken fingernails on them, and lots of folds. In fact, they are a gardener's hands, a dishwasher's hands, a grandmother's hands, and now, I'll have to admit, they're getting to be an old woman's hands. And I think, how did that happen? But again, we can do many things with our hands. Think about this morning already, just to get here. I know that you have been busy. Your hands have been busy preparing you for entrance into this church. And I watch, and I know Cumberland Presbyterians, and I know people of this church. You have already shaken hands a number of times, or clasped hands a number of times, or patted someone on the back, because the hands, again, are wonderful to express the love that we have together. Now, the symbol of the CPW Women's Ministry this year is not just the shaking of hands, not just a handshake, but clasping of hands. When you see the brochure that they have put out, it's two hands, one on top of each other, and then a third hand on top of that. And the hands are clasped. They are together. They give us the idea of oneship. And there's extra energy in a strong hand clasp. It gives you strength. It encourages you. those are the kinds of hands that we need in today's world. Hands that strengthen, hands that inspire, and hands that encourage us. I challenge you to bear with me as I explore the ministry of hands and clasped hands and the effects on our lives and the love and unity that they spread. Again, I will probably tell you many stories today because one of the joys of being a minister's wife is that across that time, the experiences that you have and your church members minister to you. So I have many stories that have come to us in the last 40 years that have meant so much to me, and believe me, I'll try to be brief with them. We use our hands to comfort others in pain and illness. I want us to think about that first. Now, I love to visit friends in the hospital with Cordell because I know before we leave, he's going to walk close to the bed and say, take the person's hand and say, can we have a word of prayer before I leave? And then I'll draw close and we'll all join hands and we'll pray together. That prayer gives us a special feeling. It draws us closer in a special way. And it makes us feel one with another and one with the Lord. They are special moments. I know that all of you comfort others by using your hands. I didn't think about this, but this summer, and I had to get my grandchildren in here. We have three wonderful grandchildren, two boys, and now one little seven-month-old granddaughter. And I didn't think about how much we use our hands to soothe others as well. On the way back from Birmingham, we had had a long trip. And little Madison had decided that she didn't want any more of her car seat. She was rather out of sorts, to say the least. Now, I was in the hot seat. That means that I was in the seat beside Madison, and I was supposed to be the one keeping her quiet and happy. So, I tried singing. We played a lot of tea pie. I made funny noises of animals to no avail. I mean, she continued to just wail as if her heart was broken. And finally, my little 9-year-old grandson, Tanner, sort of moved up close out of the back seat, and he said, Nene, if you will hold her binky in her mouth for her and just rub her head ever so gently, show her to sleep. Well, I tried it, just like he said, but I didn't have the right touch. So finally, he just gave up, and he moved even closer. I held the binky, and he just gently soothed her by rubbing her head. Now, how did he do it? It didn't take 1 minute for her just to quiet down, and she slipped all the way back to Nashville. That touch, the touch of someone whom you know cares for you, it quells fears, it calms the heaving emotions, and it reminds us of the eternal. We use our hands, hands together, one in Christ. I feel connecting with others through clasping of hands transcends this side of faith and leads us to share the eternal. This year, I have clasped the hands of two dear, dying brothers-in-law because I didn't know any other way to let them know I was there for them. Holding their hand was more for me, perhaps, than for them. But I knew that somewhere they would know how much I cared. And I was telling them how much they had meant to me as witnesses across the 40-plus years I had been in the family. Then the unthinkable happened. Cordell's 52-year-old nephew had back surgery. He was supposed to be all right. He seemed to be doing fine. He was the life of our family get-togethers, always laughing. His mother's joy and a friend to all he met. But somewhere the first night after that surgery, he died. It was not supposed to happen. We happened to be in the hospital, and I heard the code to Eddie's room and rushed there. And I was there when the code team brought him back. We were overjoyed. It was going to be all right. And then the next morning, I was holding his hand, and the neurologist told us that he was brain dead because he had been too long without oxygen. We stayed there in his room and took turns for a while holding Eddie's hand, hoping that maybe that diagnosis was not true. It was a time where we hoped that somewhere he knew we were there. We took turns sharing stories, remembering him, speaking to him, just hoping that maybe those eyes would open and he would see and feel the love of his family once again. And then we used those hands to hold his hands while we spoke of God and God's promise of life after death. And we were there when one door closed and the heaven's doors opened for him. Clasped hands, hands together, one in Christ. Hands are also there, clasped hands, to strengthen, to soothe, to comfort. I remember another room in Memphis, Tennessee, many years ago. It had been a long and difficult fight for the 28-year-old father and family man who lay dying of cancer. On one side sat a favorite uncle with head bowed. On the other sat Cordell, clasping the hand of the man too young to be in this bed and in this show. It was early morning, just daybreak, and David had finally quieted for a while, for he was in great and intense suffering. But as the sun came through the window, his eyes opened, and he turned to Cordell and strengthened that grasp of the hand, and he said, "Thank you, preacher," just as clearly as you could ever hope for. The first thing that he had said, really, that was clear and days. Then he asked, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that bell?" He said that Cordell said he looked at things above. His eyes turned upward, and his face became radiant, and slowly he took his last breath. Cordell said he didn't have to say time to say, "David, you're hearing the bells of heaven. Enter the kingdom." David had another guy that day, and hands together once again, hands together were there. Clasped hands, one in Christ. Hands that comfort, hands that soothe, hands that care. I know that we've all had that shared experience. How many times has someone come into the room and covered your hands with theirs to express support and solace to you? I dare say that all of us have drawn strength from the comfort of a friend as they stood by the bed of someone we loved, someone who was quite ill, or they stood by the grave of someone who had gone to be with the Lord. Hands together, one in Christ. Often, difficult times of grief or distress lead us to put our hands together in prayer. Many times, people whom we do not even know are praying for us. I have loved the prayer groups that have sprung up across our denomination. I cannot tell you how many times Cordell and I have received cards from a different church saying, "We have prayed for you." It means so much. If you don't believe the story that prayer does change things, and many people are praying for you, I think the next story will convince you. It took us by surprise. We happened to be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, I think it was about a year ago, and Cordell was wearing his Bethel Runebreaker, and Bethel College was emblazoned, of course, on the front. And we had left him behind because he was slowing down our shopping. So he was on the park bench outside of one of the gift shops while we were inside spending money, I guess. But he sat there, and he said another lady joined him, a complete stranger, and she just sat down exhausted, like. And so they sat there together, didn't say anything at first. And then she looked over, and she saw Bethel College. And she said, "Are you Cumberland Presbyterian?" And he, of course, said yes and told her his name. And she said, "Cordell Smith, why, I feel like I know you. You have been on our prayer list at church, and I have prayed for you many times." Isn't that wonderful? Total stranger. I think she was from Texas, as I remember. "I have prayed for you many times." It's wonderful to be part of a denomination in a church where you know that others are connected with you, if not in person, through the church and through the Lord. Hands together in prayer, one in Christ. We were fortunate to be 8.5 years at Bowling Green Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And during that time, ladies, I was a member of the Johnny Massey Clay Ladies Circle. And if you don't recall Johnny Massey Clay, she was a main person in really beginning the mission work of the church and the women's mission work of the church. There's quite a story behind how she came to be a person that really affected missions.
She was a longtime member of the church, and one of our elders even remembers visiting her home in the early 1900s. And he said every time they went to her home, his mother would sit him down and give him specific instructions on how to behave, because Mrs. Clay was such a lady, a genteel lady. He said to him she seemed like an angel because she was calm, sincere, had a soft voice, and a beautiful smile. But her story is one of hands clasped in grief and prayer. It seems that she married the love of her life, a young man whom she planned to be with for many, many years. But after 18 months, he died unexpectedly. She was inconsolable. It seems that the grief and shock of his death just caused her health to deteriorate and to leave her. And within a short time, she was blind and paralyzed from the waist down. There was no explanation. Her friends and family prayed for her. The Bowling Green Church prayed for her. And slowly, she said, through her prayers, she felt that God was calling her to do something special with her life. She began to improve. The blindness just was healed. Unexpectedly, no explanation. And then she worked to restore strength to her hips and her legs. And after several years, she was able to function in the world again. It was then that her calling came to her. She was called to organize the Women's Board of Foreign Missions, and it later became the Board of Missions. And she served as its president from 1907 to 1936. According to Reverend Jim Knight in the Hearth and Chalice, the history of the church work of Cumberland Presbyterian Church, she became perhaps the most influential person affecting the work of world missions in our denomination ever. Hands together in grief, hands together in prayer, one in Christ. It was Miss Johnny Massey Clay who, riding the train to the denominational headquarters in 1918, felt like the wheels were saying, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, a missionary church. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church, a missionary church. And ladies, if you've been in the work for many years, you remember that wayside prayer, because it was the prayer we said to start every missionary society meeting. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church, a missionary church. Hands can be clasped in service also. There are many ways that we serve, and I want to challenge you to be very aware of ways that you can serve in witness. I was distressed to hear an explanation for the explosion of violence among the younger women and men of our day and time. The psychologist explained that so many people now find themselves isolated from others that it affects them drastically. They are often abused by one or more parents. They are not nurtured. Life for them is just a struggle for survival, and they never learn to trust or love. They never learn to care for anyone or anything, because to them, nobody cares for them. They never learn right from wrong, for there is no one to teach them. A proverb I have heard several times recently, but I tried to find the true source, and I never did on the internet. I've got to do some other research, I'm sure, but the proverb says, if you save one life, you save the world. We do change the world one life at a time. And so, Christians, we must, in our daily walk, let the love of Christ be seen in our lives. We must connect with others. They'll know we are Christians by our love. I love that song. And that has to become real in our lives. It may be the young man that stacks your groceries at Kroger's or Publix every time you go to the grocery store. Or for you that are in school, it may be the girl or boy that sits next to you. Or the child down the street that needs a safe place to come to when school is out. Or just needs someone to talk to along the way and finds that you have a smile and a friendly face or a strong handshake and knows that you could be someone he could trust. It could be the loudest, most disruptive student I have in my class this year. But I firmly believe that the Lord places us in life for ministry to others. And the Lord leads us to people who need our witness. He puts us together. So we must be sensitive to the opportunities and to this call. We must know that we are His light in the world and we are His hands in the world. And hands together, one in Christ, can save the world one life at a time. Now, what about service to others and service to the Lord? I feel like that I'm in the presence of true light to others in the embodiment of this theme. You are the embodiment of this theme of the church. I remember first June 2005 when your congregation led us in seeing that all went well in the General Assembly and Convention meeting. You were there everywhere, and if things did not go like clockwork, those of us who worked in that convention and General Assembly did not know it, because you were very efficient and very wonderful to work with, and I salute